Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Labor Department today says that U.S. wholesale prices fell in September, a sign of weak inflationary pressures. The producer price index fell 0.1%, and the decline was primarily the result of an 18% decline in volatile fresh vegetable prices. Excluding food and energy components, core wholesale prices rose 0.1%. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending October 27th. NASS says 59% of the corn crop has been harvested versus 39% last week, and the five-year rolling average is 62%. 77% of soybeans have been harvested versus 63% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 77%. Winter wheat crop conditions look like this. Good to excellent, 61%. That's down 4 percentage points from last week. Fair, 35%. Poor, 3%. Very poor, 1%. South Korea's largest animal feed manufacturer purchased 270,000-ton cargoes of U.S. corn for arrival in March and a 65,000-ton cargo of option origin feed wheat for arrival by February. That's the first U.S. corn purchase for NOFI in the last 16 months. Ag Rural today says that Brazil's soybean planting accelerated dramatically this past week. Following ample showers in the key center-west region, planting jumped 15 percentage points in 7 days to reach 34% complete as of last Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,557, is up 39 points. The NASDAQ, 3383, unchanged. And the S&P 500, 1762, up 3 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Leonard.
The forecast across the Midwest today has not changed greatly from that of yesterday. It still looks as though we're in for a significant precipitation event that is getting underway in the western Corn Belt this morning, and it will continue to impact a large part of the region as we go forward through the next 2 days. The temperatures this morning across the region are varying mostly in the 30s and 40s. We do have some temperatures that are over 50 degrees in the rainfall areas of Kansas and Missouri, and we're also pushing up close to 50 in parts of southernmost Illinois and parts of Kentucky. Well, the warmer air will overspread the Midwest over the next couple of days. It'll be a slow process because we will have a lot of cloud cover and increasing precipitation across the region. The storm system that is expected to move from west to east across the region will continue to expand rain across areas from Missouri and Kansas into parts of Iowa, Nebraska, and Illinois during the course of the day today. As we move through the night tonight and into the day tomorrow, we'll likely see the precipitation intensify, especially in a corridor from Missouri to Michigan. In that region, we'll likely see 1 to 2 inch rains, and perhaps some locally greater amounts. On either side of this corridor, we'll see lighter rain totals. We'll likely see the amounts running anywhere from a couple tenths of an inch upwards to 3/4 of an inch. And there will still be a couple of counties possibly getting upwards to an inch of moisture. But the further east you are in the eastern Midwest, including Ohio and parts of eastern Kentucky, the lighter the rain may be. Same thing will be true for the west central portions of the Corn Belt, including Nebraska and some northwestern sections of Iowa. Well, the storm system will come to an end in the western Corn Belt on Thursday and in the eastern areas on Friday. It'll be followed by a nice period of drier weather that will occur in the western and southern parts of the Midwest. But it looks as though some areas in the Great Lakes region and perhaps areas down as far south as the northern portions of the Ohio River Valley may end up with a little bit of sporadic light shower activity occurring as we move into Saturday. And this precipitation is not likely to be very well organized, and will probably just produce a few trace amounts, maybe a few locations picking up a few hundredths of an inch, but I don't think there'll be much of it. But it will still be a little bit of a deterrent for field work in those soybean fields where moisture is so much of a limiting factor for field work to take place across those areas. And we will see drier weather return a little bit later into the weekend, and the odds are fairly good that we'll see the next storm system beginning to evolve in the western Corn Belt late Sunday into Monday. That system will produce a few showers in the western Corn Belt, but it won't get its act together until later on Monday into Tuesday. During that period of time, we'll see an increase in rainfall. And once again, the storm system will be focused on the area from Missouri into Michigan, with precipitation a little bit lighter to the east and a little bit lighter to the west. The storm system will be another setback to field work. It's obvious that we're going to have some disruption to harvest progress over this next week to 10 days, but it probably won't be a real dramatic problem. But nevertheless, we'll still see some disruption. We've seen good field progress occur in the past week, and hopefully we can continue that in between these storm systems. Temperatures across the Midwest are expected to turn a little warmer, actually, as we move forward through the next 2 days. The high temperatures this afternoon across the Midwest will run from 30s and 40s in the Northwest to 50s and 60s in the Southeast. But by the time we get to Thursday afternoon, the highs are going to be in the 60s and 70s in the southeastern two-thirds of the Midwest, while 40s and lower 50s occur in the Northwest. And we'll likely see the temperatures beginning to cool down as we go from Friday into Sunday, with a more seasonable range of temperatures in the 40s and 50s expected by the end of that period. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey. Your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat, 752, up 1 1/4. Soft December, 682 3/4, up 1 3/4. December corn, 432 1/4, up 1 1/2. July, 461, up 1 1/4. November soybeans, 1275 3/4, up 4 1/2. July, 1238 3/4, up 7 3/4. December soybean meal, 41430, down 40. December soybean oil, 4064, up 28. October live cattle, 133.20, up a nickel. October feeders, 165.65, down 32.5. December lean hogs, 92 even, and they are also up 5 cents. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Corn falling to the lowest price level in more than 3 years, if I'm looking at my continuation chart right.
Right, and it made new lows for this move down, whereas beans have not. Beans are still in that same 45-cent, 50-cent range we've had for the last 5 to 6 weeks. So corn bouncing a hair today, beans bouncing a hair after the big move down, but exports on Thursday are expected to be really good from the catching up mode, but it's still a huge crop, and that November 8th report should show that it is a huge crop, and that's where we will find out whether we've got more than we need or not, and whether we're going to push it lower or not.
Well, I'm looking at a couple of lower points on the chart, just seeing how bearish you want to be, Pete. There's a little resistance at 417, and there's better resistance at 398. Are we 398 corn?
Well, if they have enough acres, enough yield, yeah. But China in the background has been buying corn and expected to buy 5 to 7 million metric tons. If they do that, that'll help. You've seen a lot of exports of corn since the prices went lower. Lower prices mean more demand, and that helps get rid of those really low prices.
I was talking to Kurt there at Bates yesterday, and I asked him, well, how far along are producers in their marketing this year? And he said, well, they're quite a bit behind where they might have been on a regular year. They just aren't marketing as quickly. So what is a marketer to do with these kind of prices? How do you mitigate this?
You sell bounces, and when we do make the new lows, like we did on corn today or yesterday, you look at re-owning with a call, possibly. If it's a good enough price, you just are done with it and work on next year's.
Have you done much next year's sales yet, Pete?
Yes, tons.
And producers are very comfortable with making those sales then, hmm?
No, they're not comfortable at all. But when you have $2 billion or more crop carryover looming, and you have just as many acres going to be planted next year because new crop corn versus new crop beans ratio isn't that great, and corn still shows more profit, it's hard not to sell when you get prices back to profit.
Thank you, Pete.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities. And he is in Normal, Illinois. December corn, 432 and a quarter, up one, and now 432 even, up one and a quarter. July, 461, up one and a quarter. November soybeans, 1276 and three quarters, up five and a half. July, 1239 and a quarter, up eight and a quarter. December soybean meals, 41430, down 40. And December soybean oil is 4070. It's up 34 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.